Welcome to the MILF Way. Mindful, intuitive, lifestyle, fitness. An all-encompassing wellness podcast featuring some of the most successful, influential parents and experts out there. I'm your host, Cherokee Luker, mother, model, fitness trainer, and wellness enthusiast. Join me as we dive into all things MILF. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. I'm so excited for this episode today because I'm sitting down with my first ever friend that I made in LA, Natalie Tenarelli. We've known each other for about 7 years now, and it was the type of connection that felt like you've known the other person your entire life after the moment you met. So she's very special to me. We recorded this episode when Natalie was 30 weeks pregnant and I was 29 weeks pregnant. And since recording, Natalie has given birth to her beautiful, healthy son, Cruz. So everyone go congratulate her on becoming a mama. We cover so many entertaining and valuable topics in this episode, such as Natalie's experience as a contestant on the show Survivor, to dancing for the Clippers, to starting a niche business, Peaches LA, during COVID with her husband, to pregnancy, the benefits of somatic therapy, to all of Natalie's health and wellness tips, and so much more. This episode covers a little bit of everything you want to hear in a podcast, and I know you all are going to enjoy our conversation so much. So with that, let's welcome my beautiful friend, Natalie Tenarelli, to the show.
This podcast is proudly brought to you by Pure Mama Skincare, a deeply nourishing range of naturally powerful skincare designed to support you through pregnancy and postpartum. With their liquid gold belly oil, sellout magnesium body rub, and range of all-natural purpose-led products, Pure Mama is your absolute go-to for safe, effective, beautiful skincare. Shop now at puremama.com or join the Pure Mama community at puremama_skincare.
Okay, everybody, welcome Natalie to the show.
Thank you.
It's been a long time coming. I knew that this day would come, finally.
I know. I'm so honored to be here. And
I'm so honored to have you. Yeah. And Wealthy has been a sponsor of this show. So Everybody go check out Wealthy. First off, we can give the plug. So, guys, this is one of my first... Actually, you were my first friend when I moved here to L.A.,
That's so crazy.
Because I met you before I decided to move.
That's right.
So when I came here, you were my first friend, which was like almost 7 years ago now, which is crazy to think about.
That is wild.
I know.
7 years.
Almost a decade. And now here we are, both pregnant. We're due 1 week apart. This is Natalie's first pregnancy. Yep. It's a boy. Yeah. So we will jump into all of that, all of the pregnancy stuff. But first, I would love for you to just introduce yourself, tell your story. It's weird because usually when I prep for interviews, I have to do so much research.
You're like, I know.
And for this one, I was like, oh, I don't even, like, there's nothing that I have to do because I know everything. But maybe I'll learn something new.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, yeah, I'm Natalie Tenarelli. Yeah, when I was 19 years old, I was scouted to be on the show Survivor. And at the time, I was going to college and just really hated school so much and was looking for some type of out. And this opportunity came to me and I jumped on it. I don't think it mattered what it was. I just needed to, like, get out of the environment that I was in.
Yeah.
So I grew up in a little small town. I danced my whole life since I was 2 years old. My mom put me into dance classes and to meet other moms. So I just started dancing and loved it so much. And that was my passion. And then, yeah, went on Survivor, had an amazing...
Wait, how did you get scouted for Survivor? I don't think I know this story.
Yeah, so I had a dance agent, and I was dancing for, very random, but the AVP had a dance team. And one of the girls was on The Amazing Race.
Okay.
That I was dancing with. And I just remember being very curious about her experience. Mm-hmm. And shortly after, we had lots of conversations about her, how it all went down. I got a Facebook message
from
Lynn Spillman, who is a big casting director for reality TV. Mm-hmm. And she asked if I would be open to being on Survivor.
Wow.
So at first, I totally thought it was like a fake message.
Right.
So she said, you can confirm with Jennifer Parker, who is on The Amazing Race, that I am real and this is real.
Okay.
And yep. So I did that. And yeah, I went straight to finals. They have a whole process of casting.
Yeah.
And ended up making it on the show.
How long is that process?
It was quite a while. And to be honest, they don't really tell you that you're actually going to be on the show until usually like weeks, like 2 or 3 weeks before.
Wow.
So you like get your, you know, your shots, you get...
So like really not a lot of preparation.
Not really. You kind of just have to put your head in the game and
yeah.
assume that you're just going to go.
Right.
And then some people obviously get their heart broken and
right.
Don't end up going. So yeah, crazy.
How did you mentally prepare for that experience?
That's, oh my gosh.
I feel like you really can't until you're in it, right?
No, yeah. I think it was a bit of naivety that got me through the
experience.
You're
also 19, so
yeah,
that
I didn't know what. I mean, I didn't know that it was going to be so real.
Right, you kind of thought it was produced.
I thought possibly they would give you a power bar here and there, and we kind of, I think my family, we joked a lot about it. Mm-hmm. Like my dad was just like, yeah, they're going to give you this, or this isn't going to be totally legitimate. You're not going to be sleeping on bamboo sticks. And sure enough,
starving.
It was very much real.
Wow.
And there was no help from producers. There was nothing. So.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
What do you think was like the biggest hurdle during that experience? Was it the being hungry? Was it like the physical exhaustion? Was it like missing family?
Yeah, all the above.
All of that, I'm sure.
All the above. I would say, yeah, missing family was a big factor. Just missing people that you're not playing a game with.
Right, yeah.
It's 39 days. I think now it's like 26 days. But I just remember feeling like I just want the comforts of somebody that doesn't have ulterior motives with me.
Right, yeah.
I know.
That must be such a mind fuck.
Right. And then, of course, the hunger aspect. You're just starving.
How much weight did you lose?
I lost about 15 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy within 39 days.
Yeah. I think I started off at like 124 and then when I left, it was like 110.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And you're not super short either. So like to put into perspective.
Yeah.
I mean, you're 5'7", 5'8". Like
I really did not have any weight to lose at the time.
Yeah.
It was pretty shocking to see myself for the first time.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
What an experience.
Yeah, I'm so thankful for the experience. There's parts of it that I feel it was a bit of a hurdle to get around. I feel like I was kind of portrayed as naive and young.
But you weren't you the youngest Survivor contestant?
I think I might be the youngest female Survivor contestant.
Yeah, that's a huge title to hold.
I know. Great experience. But yeah, I think there's some things that I look back on. And I'm like, oh man, I really could have been better here. Or
yeah, but that's okay. That's like anything in life.
I did the best that I could with what I knew at the time.
Yeah, and you got far.
Yeah,
I know. And you were on an iconic season. I feel like one of the most iconic seasons, right? I don't really follow Survivor. I remember watching it back in the day, like when it first aired. And I remember watching the season you were on.
That's so funny.
My brother's obsessed with it. He's like, oh my God, you're friends with Natalie? I'm like, yeah.
It's funny because I feel like it's crazy to hear other people's opinions of me and my game. Some people are like, you did amazing. And then other people really just think that I just got there by the skin of my teeth.
Yeah.
So it's just, yeah.
Would you do it again?
Oh my gosh. I mean, the opportunity would have to come and then I would have to assess. But
yeah,
I've always wanted to go back on.
Really?
But also I'm like, man, I made it so far. And imagine if I just got kicked off on the first round or something. And
I know.
Then I would regret it.
Right. Yeah. I get that.
Yeah.
So cool. So after Survivor, what did it feel like coming back to reality? How'd you adjust?
Ooh, it was kind of a rough time because I remember I didn't really have a lot of direction before I left. Mm-hmm. So I felt quite lost.
Did you drop out of school?
I did.
Yeah.
To do the show.
Mm-hmm.
And
I did too.
I really didn't want to go back to school, but I ended up going back for a little bit. And there was a kind of a dark period where it was like, wow, I just accomplished this huge thing.
Right.
And now what's next? And I just remember having conversations with so many people of like, what do you have planned now? And I just remember feeling so hard on myself and I felt so much pressure to do big things. And I remember going into a therapy session and she's like, go get a job at McDonald's. And I was like, okay, I don't know.
Did you?
No, I didn't. But I just remember, you know, kind of being offended by that. But also, like now thinking back, it's like, yeah, you do reality TV. You're not a celebrity.
Right.
You're, you know, unless you really have that big personality and you're strategic with your moves.
Right.
It's like you can't really have a career in it.
Yeah, I know. That must be really hard, especially because you were so young. I feel like a lot of people talk about like astronaut syndrome and feeling like you've reached such a high point in your life. And then afterwards, you're kind of like, oh my gosh, where do I go from here? Especially being as young as you were.
Totally.
But everything worked out great.
I know. Yeah, it really did.
Yeah. So from there, then what kind of happened?
Yeah. So from there, I set my goal. I really wanted to be a Laker girl.
Yeah.
So I tried out for the Laker girls, didn't make it.
What is that process like? Is it so brutal?
It is. It is pretty brutal.
I've heard that it is.
Yeah.
And they like criticize you majorly, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's this very specific type that they're looking for. Actually, before I did the Lakers, I ended up dancing for Chivas USA, which is a soccer team.
Oh.
They share, or I'm not sure if they exist anymore, but they used to share a stadium with Galaxy.
Okay.
So we danced just like the same setup as like a football team where you're dancing on the grass.
That's cool.
And it was always known that the coaches for Chivas and the coach for Lakers were friends.
Okay.
So it was kind of known that if you dance for Chivas, then you could possibly, you know, get in with the Lakers.
Yeah.
So I remember them saying, okay, you need to cut your hair this way. You need to go to this person to do your hair.
Wow.
And I remember at the time it was like, it was a fancy salon in Beverly Hills. And as you're a dancer, you're not making any money whatsoever. And I remember thinking like, I think at the time, this was like 13 years ago, it was like $500 for my hair.
Yeah.
And thinking, this is what I have to do.
What did they want you to do differently?
They wanted my hair not so light. They wanted it to be dark and more like monotone.
Interesting.
And they wanted it to be a certain length.
Hmm.
So it was like not too long. They want you really polished and there's a very specific Laker girl look.
Yeah.
And of course, your body, which was another thing that I kind of struggled with after Survivor was, after losing all that weight, I kind of put on weight in different areas and I never really struggled with my weight before that. Mm-hmm. So I was not very comfortable in my body anymore. And of course, like as you're dancing, you have to be like, that's number one. Like you can't be thinking about a jiggle here and a jiggle there. You got to just go for it.
Right.
So I will say that that was something that I struggled with after the show, was feeling good in my body.
Yeah. I appreciate you saying that, because that's hard to admit, but I feel like every woman goes through that, and men. And like under the microscope of the dance world, it's probably heightened times a million.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're a model. So that's intense.
It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
I'm glad everything's changing though a little bit. As far as the modeling industry, I don't know what it's like in the dance world though. Is it changing?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I've been out of the dance world for I don't know how many years now.
Yeah.
So I have no idea.
I just like based on like working for Fenty and Rihanna and all of those dancers, like there were dancers of all different shapes and sizes.
Yeah.
So maybe that's changing as well.
Yeah. And maybe it was also like more of a personal thing for myself.
For sure.
And dance teams, I think, are different than when you're like an industry dancer.
Yeah.
You can have a little bit more
room.
Like, yeah. And those teams, it's like you have to be a certain weight. You have to
have your hair a certain way.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Were you so nervous before the tryouts?
I was so nervous.
Yeah.
And I had actually tried out 2 years prior. I want to say like it was like in between Survivor and when I actually made Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I ended up trying out for Laker Girls, didn't make it. The next day was Clipper tryouts. So I was like, I just remember being so upset about Lakers and like going into Clippers thinking, I always thought Lakers was more my style. I'm just like a little bit more like contemporary and more like jazz focused. And Clippers is known as like hip hop and like edgy girl. And I did not feel like I fit the part whatsoever.
Uh-huh.
Ended up making Clippers, so.
For these auditions, do you choreograph your own routine, or do they come up with something and then you have to do it? How does that work?
They come up with something and you have to do it.
Okay.
You go in, you do an across the floor.
Mm-hmm.
So usually that starts with like a jazz, very simple, and they make a cut there. And then from there, sometimes there's another across the floor portion, and they make another cut, and then you learn a dance. Then you learn sometimes two dances. So like one more jazzy and one more hip hop style. And yeah, they just keep making cuts until they get it to a certain point. And then usually I think there's like 50, they get down to 50. And then they post who made the team.
The results.
Yeah, shortly after.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, well, yeah.
For anyone out there who is struggling with some sort of like feeling like they failed at something, or, you know, like the feeling that you had when you felt like you were down on yourself when you didn't make the Lakers.
Yeah.
What's some words of advice?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like, as I said, I tried out 3 times for both Lakers and Clippers, and it took me that long to actually make the team.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of resilience. And I think it's a practice that never gets easier.
Yeah, I agree.
It doesn't get easier, but you kind of just have to just walk through life like it's going to happen for you eventually.
Yeah. And just pick yourself back up just like you did. Like, I think that's kind of the key ingredient.
Yeah. You kind of just have to like
brush it off and keep
brush
going.
It off. My husband always says, water off the duck's back.
Yeah, it's so true. Hunter and I fed the ducks this morning.
Oh, cute.
Our favorite thing. But it's so true. Yeah, you just have to keep swimming forward.
Yeah.
Let the water brush off.
Yep, exactly.
So what was dancing on the Clippers like?
Oh my gosh, it was so much fun for 2 years. And then my third year, we had a TV show on E! Called the LA Clippers Dance Squad.
Yeah.
And yeah, talk about another challenge. It was like they portrayed me as the weakest dancer in the bunch.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is fully produced.
Tore me apart.
This is like just the producer's narrative, right? To create a story.
It was slightly to create a story, I believe. When you do reality TV, sometimes you're like, I don't know what's real versus what is fake.
Right.
I've always been a little bit of a slower learner.
Mm-hmm. I can relate.
In general. It just takes me a minute. And I've always known that about myself. And I've just known that when I learn a dance, I go home and I have to practice. Mm-hmm. And then I have to come back and I've got it.
Yeah.
You know, but the producers caught on to that very quickly. So they saw that I was struggling a bit in rehearsals. Mm-hmm. And so camera was on me and I just, it was like I had a chance to either sink or swim and I sunk.
Really? Why? Yeah. What do you mean? What happened?
I mean, I was just so hard on myself and I just felt like I got to a point where like my mind and my body were not connected at all.
I've had that feeling too. Yeah.
And you just feel like you just can't pull through. Mm. So that was me. And they really took that and ran with it. And it just snowballed. It snowballed.
So manipulative.
Yeah. And I was basically like benched. Mm. So they wouldn't let me perform because they didn't feel like I was ready. Ugh. And it just kept progressing further and further. So then at one point I just felt like I wasn't picking up on the dances because I wasn't in the formation anymore. I was on the sidelines in rehearsals constantly. I didn't feel like I was a part of the team at all.
That's so hard.
And so they're like, they're like, we have a job for you. You can go up to the control room and it's like the Jiffy Lube.
Yeah.
Jiffy
yeah.
Lube ad.
Uh-huh.
You can press refresh on the Jiffy Lube.
Stop it right now.
That is your job for the rest of the season.
You're like, gee, thanks.
So I did it. Looking back, I'm like, why did I do it? But
oh,
I did.
Oh my gosh.
I sat there for the entire game pressing refresh.
Oh, Natalie. Oh, yeah. Babe.
Yeah. Making sure that Jiffy Lube ad really, really pulled through when it needed to.
Oh, my God. So, okay. Wow. What another experience. I feel like these are the moments in life that just give you thick skin and it teaches you so many lessons. As hard as it may feel in the moment, you have to look back on it and be like, just laugh.
Totally.
You know?
Totally. Yeah. And in the moment, it was all tears. It was
I'm sure.
You know, and I will say that my husband, at the time we were just newly dating, he was a great help for me. And really.
What were your teammates like? Like the other dancers, were they?
What, I would say like, it was like half supportive and half like just trying to get through the season themselves. I think everyone kind of had their own bag when it came to their own experience.
Yeah.
It wasn't easy for everyone. And I think a lot of people from that team, they stopped dancing because it was so rough.
Do you think it's because mostly there was the reality TV aspect? Like if that hadn't been a part of the picture, would it have been much better?
I definitely think that it enhanced this whole situation and everyone's emotions. And especially they chose 8 people to highlight on the show.
Oh, okay.
And so that was another element of like there was a lot of broken hearts that they weren't the ones that are being highlighted. So it was like in one sense, I was so, so grateful that they chose me, that they felt like I would be a good part of the show.
Yeah.
But then also it was just like, okay, let's just like put you through the ringer.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I feel like there's always these certain types of characters that they try and portray and like create the storyline.
Yeah.
And it sucks that you had to be that character that they just chose you to be that character.
Yeah.
Like, and you then, don't have a choice.
Yeah. And I kind of became it too.
Oh, because, well, I feel like that's natural. Like, because yeah. you get in your head about it, I'm
totally.
Sure.
Totally. Oh. It was so in my head. And now looking back, I feel like probably some therapy would have been good at that time.
For sure. Yeah.
And some, I feel like recently I just started getting into like somatic therapy.
Oh, yeah. I want to hear about that. Somatic therapy is more like physical therapy, right? It's not talk therapy. Or what is somatic therapy?
Okay,
like tapping into your body?
I'm still so fresh to this concept, but a lot of it is just calming your nervous system.
Yeah.
In order to perform well mm-hmm. in life, or just even have the confidence to make friendships and, yeah, just perform well in life.
I need this. Just regulating your nervous system.
There's a girl, she's a therapist, Sarah Baldwin, who...
Oh, I've heard of her, yeah.
A friend of mine had introduced me to her Instagram, and she has a lot of great knowledge, and she posts a lot of great stuff on Instagram that is really helpful.
Okay, I have to check her out.
Yeah, a lot of it's just like connecting with nature a little bit. There's a lot of little techniques. She does this thing that's, it's like... You say voo, you make this really funny sound.
Uh-huh.
And so I've been doing that a lot lately. And it's really, it's like.
What do you do? Just voo?
Yes. The deepest, like.
And how long do you do sound. It?
I mean, you could do it as long as you want, but it's really helpful. Like, just, I guess it just kind of like breaks down your nervous system a little bit and like kind of revamps you.
Cool. I'm gonna try it.
It's yes, you're so good at it.
Wow. I didn't know my voice could go that deep.
But yeah, she talks about doing that, just like if you're in the grocery store and you're feeling like
overwhelmed
and there's people getting close to you or whatever it is, just like break out the voo and people will think you're crazy, but it makes you feel so good.
I'm going to do that. Just break out in the grocery store.
Ooh.
I feel like just because living in LA, it's so overstimulating. I mean, you live at the beach, so it's a little bit nicer and calmer there.
Yeah.
But even just walking Hunter to the park, just my nervous system is going crazy because it's like... I have to also make sure that he's okay as well. And so it's, you're constantly on edge. There's so many stimulants. There's noises. There's people. There's whatever it is. So I feel like this is a good little practice.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's time for you to move to the beach.
I know. I'm ready. I'm seriously so ready. Aww. So every day I'm driving, I'm like, I fucking hate this.
Right?
Yeah. I'm over it. But, okay, so you went through that experience, and I want to talk a little bit about how you and Dan met, because I love this story too. And I feel like I've gotten to somewhat witness your guys' relationship evolve.
Totally.
And now I feel like you're just in the most amazing place in your relationship. I got to watch you guys get married last year, and now you're pregnant, and it's just like, it's so beautiful to witness. So tell the audience how you guys met.
Yeah, so Dan was on The Bachelorette.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Desiree season. I don't know what number it is. And I obviously was on Survivor. So then somebody connected me to this guy, Mikey Tenorelli, who is on his season of The Bachelorette. And Tenorelli is not a common last name.
No, not at all.
So I think it was on Twitter. Somebody had connected me and said, hey, Natalie Tenorelli, are you related to Mikey Tenorelli?
Mm-hmm.
So somehow Mikey and I started having a conversation back and forth online about seeing if we were related, if we were distant cousins or something.
And this is before 23andMe.
This is before, exactly. Yeah, like 12 years ago. And we figured that we were not related.
Mm-hmm.
And he invited me to, they always have this men tell all party. It's kind of at the end of the show. Mm-hmm. It's just something they do. I thought it was like going to be this big party and ended up being very intimate. So I had brought a couple girlfriends. I'm like, yeah, let's go to this bachelor party. We'll meet all these guys. And yeah. It'll just be a great time. And so Mikey was kind of, he was taking me along and being a gentleman and introducing me to everybody. I do not remember if Dan and I actually shook hands that night.
And he doesn't remember either?
And he doesn't remember either.
Huh.
But we did take a picture with a group of the guys. Dan wasn't in the picture. And it was like early Instagram days.
Yeah.
And Dan had seen that photo. It was like me and my girlfriends and a couple of the guys. And started following me. Thought that I was Mikey's sister.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So
that makes sense.
2 years later, Mikey's actual sister got married. Okay. And so then Dan was like, wait, who is this girl that I've been following? This girl, Natalie Tenorelli. Mm-hmm. And went to my profile. Instagram DMs had just come out.
Oh, my God.
And so he was going to be in LA for casting for Bachelors in Paradise. Mm-hmm. So he decided to reach out to me and ask if he wanted to get coffee or dinner. And yeah, so then we met up and the rest is history.
Oh my gosh.
But at the time he was going to go back on Bachelors in Paradise.
Right. I remember that. Yeah.
I was being cast for another season of Survivor at the time. So we really kind of bonded over that.
Yeah.
And both of us were just very in support of one another doing the show. So
that's so
we were going to leave within days of each other. I ended up not going and he ended up going.
Yeah. What was that like having to?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Because you guys, how long was it before you guys started dating and then he had to leave for the show?
So I want to say it was like 3 months. We were living in separate cities. He was living in Las Vegas at the time.
Right.
So we hadn't seen each other. I'd say we saw each other maybe 3 or 4 times, but it was like full on because we were in each other's city.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Staying with each other. So it escalated pretty quickly. But I think both of us were just like, we're doing this show and like, this is fun. You're great. At the time, I wasn't like, this is my guy at all.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, once he left, I was obviously upset that I didn't get to go on Survivor again because I was really, really hoping for that. And then I'm like, oh, the guy that I like just went on a dating show. This is great. So, yeah.
Was that so hard to have to go?
It was pretty hard. I remember.
Did he kiss girls on the show? Like, I don't.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, like, during the time of the show, he's not able to communicate with you, right?
Not at all. Yeah.
No phones. That's so hard.
And I knew the way that the show worked, as long as you're staying there, you're continuously dating somebody. So I knew that he was out there dating somebody.
Right.
Or multiple people, and it was working out. It wasn't like he was getting.
Yeah.
I forget how it actually worked, but he wasn't leaving the show.
Ooh,
meaning he was still dating other girls.
Oh, that's so hard to deal with. So then when he got back, how did you guys kind of figure things out?
So he gave me a call as he was at the airport. Mm-hmm. And I remember that call so clearly. I actually remember like just a few days before he had given me a journal for Survivor. And that was kind of to like share my feelings or whatever. It was a very thoughtful gift.
Yeah.
And I remember flipping through the pages and I hadn't seen that he had written in it.
Oh, that's so cool.
Until like 2 days before he ended up calling me. And I remember at that point I was like, I just gotta like let this guy go entirely. Like this is not serving me one bit. And of course, I'm flipping through and I see this like really sweet note that he had written me. And I'm like, oh.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So then he had a roommate at the time and he had written me a few days before he had gotten back and was like, hey, how are you doing? just kind of want to like give you some peace of mind and like, you know, kind of gave me like a little something.
Yeah.
To keep my head in the game with Dan.
You must have been so relieved.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
But of course, like there was just the part of me of like, he's doing the show and,
right.
You know, there's a factor that I can't control and it's kind of, you know, feed him to the wolves and see if he comes back.
Like, yeah, and he did.
Yeah, and he did.
So that clearly means something. Yeah. I mean, I didn't know that story about the journal and the note. That's really cute.
Yeah, I always forget that happened.
Oh, that's really special. You still have it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so special. Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, I guess now, fast forward, here we are. Wait, are you 30 weeks now?
I'll be 30 weeks on Friday.
Okay, 30 weeks.
A couple days.
Yeah, because I'm 29 weeks. So, crazy. Oh my gosh. So let's talk a little bit about the pregnancy and how you're feeling. And were you guys planning? And just tell me all the things.
Yeah. So my family has a peach orchard, which you know.
Yes.
So all my life, my parents have kind of worked their lives around peach season. So my parents have always like vacations. We never during the summer, during the peach season.
Yeah.
We don't do anything other than grow peaches and sell work. Them.
Yeah.
So basically we had to coordinate our timing around like
peach
making
season.
A baby.
Yeah.
Peach season.
Okay. Let's rewind first too and talk about how you and Dan started peaches because I really want to touch on that too because that's like the most important thing.
Yeah. So during COVID, my dad gave us a call and he said, I think we have to rip out the orchard. I think we gotta get rid of it. It's just the water's too expensive. We have no place to sell. The restaurants are shutting down. We don't have brokers asking for any peaches. We just got to shut it down. And so Dan and I kind of put our heads together. And I just remember it happening very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, what if we created this box that we could ship all around the states? And of course, you're just like working through all the logistics of like, can you ship here? And is this legal? And, you know, all those little parts that could make you stop doing something.
For sure.
But we just kind of pushed forward and it ended up being just the best thing ever. We created this custom box with this foam inside that kept the peaches nice and stable. And we ended up just dropping these boxes off with some friends and acquaintances and people that we knew through Bachelor World and Survivor World and just connecting with people on Instagram, influencers, and it was kind of our way of connecting with people in general because it was like at that
during
time.
During COVID time,
we were so locked down and missing that human connection.
Mm-hmm.
So what we would do is just drive to people's houses and drop them off on the door and knock and see if anybody said hello. And a lot of people did. And some of those people are now our best friends. So it was just like kind of a very special time.
That is so cool that you guys decided to do that. And it's so wild how quickly it grew.
Yeah. I think because the space is obviously not saturated at all.
It's so niche. I don't think there's another. Is there even another company that does that?
There might be. I don't think that the other company can ship to California. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Amazing.
But also we are the only company that actually sell what we grow. So I think the other company
like sources
from other farms and then they ship out.
Okay.
I mean it's all of our stuff.
Yeah, and it's your family's orchard that's been in your family for how long?
35 years.
Wow, which makes it so special the fact that you're getting they are the best peaches in the world, you guys. Literally the best peaches.
Yeah.
There's also so many varieties that I remember going to the orchard and your dad was just like geeking out on all of the peaches and I was like, "Oh my gosh, I had no idea that this was like a whole entire world."
Yeah. My dad's a pretty shy guy.
He's so cute.
But then when he is like in his zone.
In his element.
In his element.
Yeah.
He can just yap. Yeah.
He's so cute. Talk to me about like the nuances of starting your own business, like the good, the bad, the ugly. Yeah. Also starting it with your spouse and working alongside Dan. Like how has that been? And has it affected your relationship? And
yeah. I know there's like a lot of controversy over like, should you be talking business constantly with your partner?
Yeah.
We actually enjoy it. It's just something that we connect over. But yeah, I mean, there was a lot of challenges in the beginning. The first shipment that we shipped out, the tracking numbers were off. Mm. And somehow everything was getting lost. We had to like call UPS and like manually put in every order. Actually, it was FedEx. We started off with FedEx. They messed up. They didn't scan everything right. So we were panicking.
That's stressful.
Yeah. And I think for me, I can definitely tap into like a bit of a perfectionist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can relate.
Zone. Mm-hmm. And that can stop me from so much.
Yeah.
So this business was really healing for me because mm-hmm. it was just like one foot in front of the other. Like you put something out, you got to just follow through.
Yeah.
So I think it was definitely a great, great healing technique.
Wow. And now I'm sure you guys have gotten it down to a science at this point.
Yeah.
But it probably didn't start like that.
I mean, of course, there's always little things that happen.
Yeah.
You're dealing with fresh fruit. You put them on the truck and you just like, okay, please just make it to their destination. And so we've figured out little things along the way. Like there's this company called Route that's like a protection, like an insurance. So we can add like a dollar to your order and then that insures your box. So that helps us out because if the box is lost, then it's on us. And then we always do the right thing with our business. So.
Are you guys still in the phase of like you're still packaging all of the boxes, right?
We do it all ourselves, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, it's a small operation. We have a small farm.
Right.
We don't foresee this being like a multi-million dollar business by any means.
Yeah.
It's something that we're just really passionate about. And of course, we want to start incorporating some other little aspects into our business and kind of grow things. But I think that that's what makes our business so beautiful is that we're not looking to sell it or we're not looking to be this huge company.
Yeah, and be this huge corporation. It's exactly. Just like coming from the heart.
Yeah, we just one peach at a time making people smile.
Oh, they are so good. Yeah. They're my favorite. And I'm so sad peach season is over.
I know.
I'm like going through withdrawals.
Yeah, we've got a few months.
Yeah, I know.
I feel so lucky that my family has this farm and that we can share it now with more and more people and get the word out because it is really, close to the heart.
Oh, well, now let's talk about your little peach.
My little peach.
And how it's been going.
Oh, my gosh. Things have been really good. I'm really grateful for how things have gone so far. So, yeah, I'm week 30 now. Mm-hmm. Crazy. Obviously, it started off a little challenging with just the first trimester. And thankfully, I didn't have it that bad, but I was still working as a model and trying to push through. And yeah, the appetite was just
what were
something
you
else.
Yeah. Did you have any food aversions or like what were you
kind of
what
everything.
Was your diet?
Kind of everything. I was just sort of like in survival mode of
that's how I felt.
Let me just get something in my system.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have major nausea.
Mm-hmm.
But just nothing sounded good.
Yeah.
And then when something did sound good, I felt like I just like had to eat it. And then it just didn't satisfy me really.
Yeah. That's kind of how I feel right now, to be honest. Aww. I know. Second trimester was fine, but I don't know. I'm just in a weird phase again. Yeah. Wow. It's weird.
It's just like your hormones doing wild things.
I know. Our bodies are amazing.
Yeah. I'm in like the hunger phase.
Oh, you are?
Like I could just sit and eat all day long, which is a little scary.
That's okay. I mean,
I know.
You got to just listen to your body.
Yeah.
So first trimester, and then were you working out your first trimester still?
I did. I wasn't working out a ton. I was tired, but I couldn't sleep.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a nap would fix me.
Mm,
it was just like I just kind of wanted to lay there.
And then second trimester was kind of, you felt better. You got your energy back and...
Definitely.
Good.
Definitely. I mean, I'm not back to my old self.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
By no means.
Yeah. And it is crazy just like the ligament pain and the... There's some crazy things that happen to your body.
I know.
And it feels like it's never going to go back, but...
I know.
Give me some reassurance there.
You definitely have to be patient, and it does...
Yeah.
It takes some, you know, mental strength.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, of course it goes back, which is so weird to think. Like, our bodies are growing this human inside, and... Literally within hours of giving birth, like your body already has changed, which is so crazy to think about, you know?
Yeah.
We're just so resilient as women. Like it's wild what we're capable of doing.
Yeah. I remember seeing you like days after
couple days.
Hunter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And of course you looked amazing. And
no, I don't know about that.
You did.
I did not feel it. What about mentally during pregnancy? Like, have you been adjusting okay to all of the changes and, or how has that been?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely feel a lot more emotional.
Yeah.
On both spectrums of like joy and sadness. Not sadness, but just like you see a video and you're like just on the floor.
Just so sensitive.
So sensitive about everything.
Yeah.
But I have had it in my mind that I just really want to be in good spirits.
You are a
goddess. For this baby inside of me, I really want him to come out feeling joy. So I've really put a lot of intention into trying to be as calm and joyful as possible.
You can tell. Yeah, I feel like you are thriving so much as a pregnant woman, like,
thank you.
And you look so beautiful. Like at your baby shower, everybody was just like, she's the most perfect pregnant woman I've ever seen. You just have this perfect little bump. I feel like you haven't gained weight anywhere else. And just like, you just look like a goddess.
Thank you.
Yeah. So what is one thing that you're looking forward to the most about becoming a parent?
I am just so excited to meet this person.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think it's so easy to be like, think that you know them, sort of.
Yeah.
But also, you don't.
It's such a mystery.
I'm excited to meet this little guy and like get to know him.
See what he's going to be like.
And see what he's going to be like and just watch it from like ground zero.
I know. It really is the coolest thing to witness. Yeah.
And then I'm sure he's going to teach me so much. So I'm ready for that.
Mm.
Ready for the challenges, I guess. I'm sure it's going to be very difficult at times, but.
Yeah, but the good definitely outweighs the bad.
Yeah.
By tenfold.
Yeah.
So it's so worth it.
Yeah.
It's so magical. And you're going to be such a good mommy.
Thank you.
And Dan's going to be a great dad. You guys are just going to be the cutest little family. I can't wait.
I'm super excited to see him become a dad too.
Yeah.
It's gonna be,
are you at the point yet where you can't see your vagina to shave?
Oh, been there for a while.
Same. I have an invention that is pending.
Do share. You can't share.
I'll share with you off the mic.
Okay. Oh my gosh.
It is so real though. Like I go and I'm just like, guessing. I remember my first pregnancy, I had to have Josh shave for me.
Yeah, I'm at that point.
Yeah.
But also I'm like, I don't know if I really want you down there in like broad daylight right now. I don't know what's going on.
It's about to get more real than that. Okay, so during your birth, are you telling Dan to stay above the waist?
No, I am not going to tell him that.
Good, yeah.
Yeah.
I told Josh too at first, but then of course, like when you're in it, it's like it just, he is up in there.
Yeah. Luckily, yeah. Dan's always been, he's been a very open person.
Yeah.
And like he doesn't get grossed out with like girly things. So I do feel comfortable in that aspect. I mean, there is a part of me that's like, oh my gosh, are you just going to be totally scarred for life after you see what happens down there?
I think if you're with a real man, and I know that Dan is a real man,
yeah,
it only brings them closer to you and it yeah. makes them more attracted to you.
Yeah.
Just knowing that you just birthed their child.
Yeah.
It does something to their chemistry and biology.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so good to hear.
Yeah. So excited to meet him. Let's dive into all the wellness stuff. What do you do to stay mindful?
I think staying mindful for me is just taking a pause. Mm-hmm. And, you know, having intention behind things.
That's a good one. That's a good point to make.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes I do that a little bit too much. I feel like
I overthink.
Yeah. I don't just like let things roll off the tongue always. But I do think that it helps in many ways just to like take a pause.
Yeah.
Really.
Put some intention behind it too.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
How do you listen to your intuition?
I think this goes back to just being mindful,
yeah.
honestly.
Yeah.
Just once again, yeah, taking a pause, feeling it, letting it sit with your body and then making a choice or going with your gut instinct.
Yeah, and trusting it.
Totally. Does this feel good in my body or does it not feel good?
I'm sure the somatic work is probably helping with that too.
Yeah.
I think your intuition just gets stronger with age. I think it's just natural. Like the more life experiences you have, obviously, mm-hmm. the better you're able to tap into your intuition. And I think that also becoming a mother and becoming a parent just amplifies it even more.
Yeah. So, yeah.
What are some of your lifestyle non-negotiables?
I'd say starting off with, I don't sleep next to my phone.
Mm.
I plug my phone in across the room and
I love that.
It's away from me and I don't, for the past, I want to say like since my pregnancy.
Oh.
I feel like I just didn't want that wake up and grab the phone and start scrolling kind of lifestyle.
So important.
Which is hard
because I feel really like hard.
It's just such a gut, you know,
yeah.
feeling to be like, okay, let me check my notifications.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's like number one.
Mm-hmm.
I do like to wake up with the sun. So
ooh.
That's been something that I feel like being pregnant, I'm just a better version of me.
It really makes you just want to be the best version of yourself.
Yeah.
I notice that when I'm pregnant, I focus so much more on my wellness and mm-hmm. taking care of myself.
Yeah.
It just.
Maybe because it's like, yeah, you kind of have a little being that you're also
exactly.
nurturing as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
But yeah, so
what time is that usually?
Yeah, so it's like 6:30, 7.
Yeah. So does that mean just like sleeping with the blinds open? Because since you don't have your phone, or do you have something that wakes you up every day?
No, I have an alarm clock that wakes me up. But just like as soon as I do wake up, I like to go out into the living room and like just see
get light.
Yeah, get light.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's a non-negotiable. I'm a pretty like healthy eater. I mean, 90% of the time.
Yeah.
But I do treat myself here and there. And of course, we just got back from Italy and I definitely.
You have to indulge.
I had to. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gelato, croissants.
But also you just don't feel guilty when you're in Italy.
It doesn't have that same effect.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just all the walking too.
Yeah.
That's another thing that I love to do is walk.
And yeah.
Get my steps in.
Yeah, and it's so nice that you guys live where you do because it's so convenient for walking. I love that.
It's the best.
What does your diet consist of for the mm-hmm. most part? Like, what are you eating for breakfast and then lunch and dinner? Walk me through.
Yeah. So I kind of eat the same thing every day, which I've taken from Dan because he's very much a ritualistic type of person.
Yeah.
But I eat a lot of eggs. So in the morning, I'll have either like 2 eggs and a piece of sourdough toast and maybe a little bit of fruit. And then sometimes I'll have Greek yogurt mm-hmm. with some granola and fruit. And lunch is always kind of
random.
Like either I'll get like a sweet green salad or if I didn't have eggs in the morning, then I'll have eggs in for lunch. Mm-hmm. And then dinner, I'm really thankful because Dan is an amazing cook. So he cooks quite a bit. And I'm kind of like the I'll make a salad or soup girl.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Love that.
That's my forte.
That's important too.
Yeah. So yeah, if I'm cooking, that's kind of what's on the menu. And then if he's cooking, he's really into like beef lately.
Mm.
We're kind of getting back into like the real foods.
Yes.
I'm very much not a packaged food girly at all.
Yeah.
I really try not to eat like bars or anything that's in a package. I just try and stay away from. But we eat dairy. We eat meat.
Yeah.
And we feel good. I think that we've gotten so far away from real foods that it's just like gone in the opposite direction of health.
I know, especially here in the U.S.
Yeah.
Like we were talking about Italy. I mean, it's just so different in other countries. Mm-hmm. Just the amount of ingredients in all of the foods now, it's insane.
Disgusting.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Yeah, I really, if I don't know how to pronounce something on an ingredient list, I just usually stay away from it.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, I'm not perfect all the time. Sometimes that's what's available and that's what's easy. And
yeah,
I just go for it. But
yeah,
I try to eat whole foods.
That's good. That's a good tip. And then what is your fitness routine?
My fitness routine could probably use some work.
But you also are in the third trimester of pregnancy, so
this is true.
Give yourself grace.
This is true. I've been doing reformer Pilates,
yeah,
like once or twice a week. But it's almost like I do it in the morning, mm-hmm. and my body is wrecked after.
Mm-hmm. It's honestly such an intense workout,
right? I can't even walk, and it's just not serving me well anymore. So I've kind of decided no more reformer Pilates.
Yeah.
Put that on pause. And
I put it on pause too.
Right?
Yeah.
And so walks. I love to go outside and get some sunshine. And I try to get 10,000 steps a day.
Me too.
That's like a priority.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't always happen, but for the most part it does.
Yeah.
And I like weights. I like lifting weights. It feels good for me right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I go to this class at Equinox and been loving this class. But I was 5 minutes late the other day.
Uh-huh.
And the teacher came up to me and just laid into me for being late.
Oh, my God.
So now I'm like, my ego is like so bruised and I do not want to go back to this class, but I've been loving it and it's been great. But
is it the same instructor every time?
It's the same instructor every time. And like, she has kind of gotten on my nerves a little bit. Like, she made comments about like, do you know how men like look in the class and sometimes scope it out? This one guy did that and he was not being creepy at all. Like, maybe it was like his wife that was in the class and he was just checking on her. And she kind of went down this whole rabbit hole about men and blah, 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 blah. So I'm like, I already kind of had a little beef with her. And then she came up to me and she said something like, well, if you need modifications, and like looked at my belly. And I'm like, girl, you have not given me any modifications this entire time. And suddenly you want to give me
modifications. Wow. That's so rude and passive
aggressive. I know. So,
like, aren't you supposed to show mercy to pregnant women and be like,
yeah,
what the hell?
Of course, you have to take those things as a grain of salt. And you're just like, something's going on with you. But But now my weight class is been put to a stop, so I need to just start doing my own weight training. And then my friend Sammy Clark has a fitness app called Form, and
they launched
a maternity portion of the
app. You been doing those workouts
every once in a while? Yes.
Cool.
I have had kind of like low motivation to do workouts by myself.
I know. It's like hard sometimes.
Going to a class sometimes is just better for me. But yeah. It's been great. Like, especially
I've been meaning to check it out.
Yeah, you got to check it out. Yeah, their instructor, I think her name is Kayla. She's great.
Cool. Yeah. Okay. I'll have to check that out. Everybody else go check it out too.
Yeah.
One last question I ask is, if you could go back in time and give yourself one piece of advice, what would you say to the younger version of yourself?
I think going back to the question that you asked me before about failures, I think it would be that it's inevitable that you're going to fail. If you try multiple things, you're going to fail.
Yeah.
And just to pick yourself back up and, like, just don't take life so seriously.
Yeah. I know. I could have used that too.
You know.
I know.
It's just like,
it's hard in the moment.
It's so hard in the moment, but yeah. Failure is not a negative thing.
I agree. It's growth.
And nobody cares.
Yeah.
Nobody cares.
It's so true.
You think that everybody's watching you. You think that everyone is judging you, and they're not.
No, like, not at all.
You're your biggest critic, and you got this one life to live. Just do some weird stuff. Just do it.
That's such a good note to end on. I love it. I love you.
I love you.
I feel like the moment we met, I was just like, yep, I love this girl.
I know. It was so
instant. Yeah. It's like I had known you my whole entire life. And I know. That's such a special feeling to get, especially as an adult, because I feel like that comes very rarely.
So rare.
Anyways, my love, let everybody know where they can find you, find Peaches.
Yeah.
Drop all the things so we can follow and connect with you.
Yeah. So it's my personal account is at Natalie Tenorelli, and Peaches is at Peaches LA. There's like an underscore in there, but you'll find it.
You'll find
Peaches
it.
Peaches LA.
Yeah. Everybody go check it out.
Yeah.
Okay. I love you.
Love you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you all for tuning in. I hope you gained some insight on how to practice becoming more mindful, learned the importance of listening to your intuition, gained some lifestyle takeaways and fitness tips. Don't forget to follow and subscribe to the podcast. It means so much to me and is really the best way to support the show. And if you feel inclined, please do not hesitate to leave a review. You can follow me on Instagram at Cherokee Lucre and the podcast at The MILF Way. So make sure you follow along to access my personal content and content pertaining to the podcast to help you become the best version of yourself. Talk to you all very soon. Love, love.